ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। अथ साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः। श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासून गतासूंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः। न त्वेवाहं जातु नासं न त्वन्ने मे जनाधिपाः। न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम् देहिनोऽस्मिन्यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनञ्जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति। मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्णसुखदुःखदाः। आगमापायिनो नित्याः तां स्थितिक्षस्व भारत। यं हि न व्यथयन्त्येते पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ समदुःखसुखं धीरं सोऽमृतत्वाय कल्पते। नासतो विद्यते भावः नाभावो विद्यते सतः। उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः। अविनाशितु तद्विद्धि येन सर्वमिदं ततं विनाशमव्ययस्यास्य न कश्चित्कर्तुमर्हति। अन्तवन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिणः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युध्यस्व भारत। यं यत्ययेनं वेत्यहन्ता यश्चैनं मन्यते हतम् उभौ तौ न विजानीतः नायं हन्ति न हन्यते। So we stopped, okay? We're still seeing an elaborate bhashyam on this. Let us remember, in this verse, Bhagavan Krishna makes it very clear. Atma is absolutely actionless. Atma is nature of actionlessness. Because Atma is nature of changelessness. Being involved in action means being subject to change. Changelessness being the nature of Atma, avikriyatvam being the nature of the Atma, akartrutvam also is the nature of the Atma. Atma is free from actions. There's no action, such a thing called action, the part of the Atma. If akartrutvam is the nature of the Atma, abhoktrutvam, Atma is from enjoyership also. Atma is from doership, from enjoyership also. Atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. So Atma has no punyam, no pama. Atma is ever free, nitya muktaha. Atma was never bound. Atma is ever free. Therefore, Atma need not attain jnanam. Atma need not become free. It is ajnani jiva who is ignorant of one's own swarupam. Because of ignorance, because of erroneous perception, he is as though bound. He needs to discover this swarupam, to discover the freedom which is already there. So discovering the freedom which is already there is what discovering attainment of freedom. This you know very well. But in this context, when Shankara Bhagavatpada established how akartrutvam, the actionlessness, Atma is free from doership, Atma is the nature of actionlessness because of changelessness, being its nature. This we understand very clearly already. In this context, in his elaborate commentary, toward the end, what we saw was the Pura Pakshi, the Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi, always wanted to emphasize that knowledge must be combined with the karma as a means of attainment of moksha. So for which Shankara Bhagavatpada, actually from this lesson, the commentary is over much earlier before, but in his elaborate commentary, he makes us understand, he helps us derive another lesson that knowledge and karma cannot be combined, need not be combined. For which he made very clear. The knower of the Atma is Atma himself. In fact, everything is Atma, Atma or anything, everything is Atma. But the knower of the Atma knows that he is Atma and everything else is Atma. Therefore, the knower of the Atma being Atma himself, not only the Atma is free from actions, the Jnani is also free from actions. Because the knower of the Atma is Atma himself. The knower of the Atma knows that he is Atma. Therefore, he is Atma himself. Therefore, he is free from actions. He has no kartrutva, no bhoktrutva. By saying this, Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary made it very clear. It's impossible for a jnani who is free from doership and enjoyership, who identifies with Atma, to involve himself in actions, to associate himself in actions. It is not possible at all to combine karma and jnanam and karma. Jnanam cannot be combined, need not be combined. Re-established. Even if a jnani, atma jnani, happens to be a grihastha or happens to be involved in any of the activities, that karma is only for the welfare of the society, not for his happiness, not for his fulfillment, not for jnani's happiness or fulfillment. The karma is only for the welfare of the society. Loka sangrahartameva jnani karma karoti. And he does the karma means what? He is objective towards his body, mind, sense, complex, being involved in activities. He does not have the notion that he is the doer of the doer. He does not think that he is doing something for the world's welfare. Therefore, jnani, even if he is involved in activities for the welfare of the society, he's not bound by karma because he does not entertain the notion he is the doer. He has no punyam and papam. Jnani's punyam can be shared by others. Jnani has no papam. And Jnani's karma is a non-binding karma, which is a karma abhasa. Even if a person is involved in karma, still he is a sannyasi. When does a person become sannyasi? If he is free from the notion, wrong notion that he is the doer and enjoyer, then he is a sannyasi, karma sannyasi. Jnana karma sannyasi. Therefore, there is no way of combining jnanam and karma. So, by way of explaining this verse, Shankara Bhagavatpada helps us understand this lesson that jnana karma samuchaya is impossible, that we understood. Thereafter, this all I'm just repeating, just to remind you of what we have already seen in the previous classes. And Shankara Bhagavatpada quoted in support of his teaching explanation that even Bhagavan himself prescribes two disciplines, the two lifestyles, keeping in mind that karma is not for a person who is aspiring for jnanam, desperately aspiring for jnanam. Karma is not for a person who has already attained jnanam also. So where there is the first person only, sannyasa is the other person is only eligible for sannyasa, renunciation. So and Bhagavan prescribed two disciplines, jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam, Bhagavan says. So for people, anyway, people of purushartha, for people of purushartha nischaya, who are aspiring for jnanam, if they're not prepared for jnanam, then having their focus on mental preparation for jnanam, people can involve themselves in karma. Even then, okay, then there's a combining. They perform karma as a karma yogis. But because they're still ajnanis. And people who are desperately aspiring for jnanam, knowing the value of jnanam, and people who are adequately qualified for jnanam, who has no more interest in anything. Ajnanis, but who know the value of jnanam, who are committed to the pursuit of jnanam, who are grown out of desire for everything else, who are dispassionate towards arthakamas. For such people, what is better, karma or jnana? Definitely for them, sannyasa is the better option, the best option. What is sannyasa here? So, Shastram talks about the two types of sannyasa. Vidvat sannyasaha and vidisha sannyasaha. I'm going to come to the lesson where we left yesterday, last class. But I had to remind you all these things. Vidisha sannyasaha vetam iccha vidisha. Desire to know is vidisha. Desire to know is vidisha. So the person who is desperately aspiring for jnanam with dispassion towards everything else, for him sannyasa is, renunciation of karma is recommended by the Shastram. He is a vidisha sannyasaha. That is vidisha sannyasaha. The renunciation for the purpose of knowing the truth and to the exclusion, the total commitment to renunciation for committing oneself totally to the pursuit of jnanam, to the exclusion of everything else. Even to be given to such lifestyle, to take such a lifestyle, one must be really dispassionate enough, prepared enough. Sannyasa is the lifestyle for such a person. Even karma is not required. A person who is desperate for moksha, who is not at all interested in artha kama dharmas, because he has become dispassionate. His punya karma has earned before has served its purpose. He is no more interested, means what can he do? What is he eligible for? He is eligible for sannyasa. A sannyasi, what should be he doing? He must involve himself either in shravanam. Whole day, won't he get tired? Won't he be bored? No, he will not be bored. He should not be bored. If he is bored, means he is not ready for this. It's natural for anyone to get bored. If he's not bored, means he's ready for it. That is why, no, I don't get bored. I love this. I want to be in a class when you're sannyasi. Therefore, the person must be involved in shravanam or mananam and in dhyasanam. So, mainly for shravanam and mananam. So, this vidisha sannyasaha. For him, karma is not, he cannot do karma because no more interest in any karma phalam. as he is dispassionate towards karma phala. So Bhagavan prescribed, that's why, two lifestyles, two disciplines. As a karma yogi, you follow this discipline. As a jnana yogi, as a sannyasi, you follow this discipline. Bhagavan prescribes two disciplines. Why? It is not possible to combine jnanam and karma. Then, if there are people who already attained jnanam, but still they have yet to attain jnana nishtha, and what should they do? After having understood the teaching, how Atma is akarta, Atma is abhokta, there's no punyam papa for Atma. There's no sukham outside of the Atma. Having discussed, understood this, what should a person who understood the teaching, attained the jnanam, do? Of course, he has to assimilate the teaching. He has to ascertain the teaching. What he needs is the steadfast vision. Therefore, he needs jnana nishtha. For him also, what is the best choice? What else should he do karma? No. For him, of course, sannyasaha. Therefore, sannyasa, renunciation of karma. So renunciation of karma means vachinyani, there's no doorship and jarship. So he vidvat sannyasaha. So the person who is aspiring desperately for moksha, for jnanam, for him, vidisha sannyasaha. But a person who has attained jnana, who wants jnana nishtha, for him, vidvat sannyasaha. So sannyasaha is not in wearing saffron robes. Sannyasa is in, you know, what I'm aspiring for. Based on what I'm aspiring for, there is sannyasa. Even if a person is a grihastha, even if a person is a grihastha householder, even if he has social obligatory duties, even if he is involved in karma, in doing his duties, still, if he is not interested in social obligatory duty, he is not interested in possessions and positions, he is not interested in those things, still he is doing because of his duties. It's all in my mind. Then such a person, and such a person is really sannyasi. Even his grihastha is a sannyasi. All the interest is gone. He is not lazy. He is not idle. He is very active. But the mind, the mental maturity is such that there is a sannyasa. Sannyasa implies mental maturity. That is why Bhagavan prescribes two disciplines and two lifestyles. Why? Because it is not possible at all to combine jnanam with the karma. Because ajnani is Atma himself. He knows his Atma. Therefore, there is no way of combining. Atma is, jnani is also free from karma. From that, we understand the teaching that there is no jnana karma samuchya is never possible at all. Okay. This is the previous lessons. It's okay. Therefore, when to support his idea, Shankara Bhagavatpada quoted a statement from Mahabharatam Shanti Parva. Let us read this here. Tathacha putraya aha Bhagavan Vyasaha. So Bhagavan Vyasa taught his own son Shukacharya, the great Shukacharya, the great Acharya, who became much greater than his father, Guru himself, Vyasa himself. So, a father, Vyasa, taught his son Shukacharya in Mahabharatam, in Shanti Parva. We come across this statement, Dvavimau Atha Panthanau. Imau Dvau Dvau Imau Atha Panthanau. These are the two paths. Ityadi. Tathacha mean, the two paths means what? Two paths means there's no choice between the two paths. Both paths must be followed. Means two paths meaning two lifestyles involved, associated with two disciplines. Both must be followed sequentially by every spiritual aspirant. To prepare his mind for jnanam, one has to go through the path of karma, having focus on mental preparation. When the person is adequately prepared, he has discovered his passion, he has viveka vairagyam, has sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, then naturally, if there's this passion, this passion is an expression of one's maturity. The maturity is there, dispassion is there, then naturally, jnana yoga is the discipline. Then the person is a sannyasi. Therefore, the two paths are two different lifestyles, also the two different disciplines to be followed by every spiritual aspirant sequentially. Therefore, they cannot be combined. Combining them is not possible. Then, tathacha, kriyapatascheva purastat paschat sannyasascha. See, kriyapataha eva purastat paschat sannyasascha. So, which path should be followed first? Which path should be followed later? One cannot become sannyasi first, then he can enter into karma. No. Even Shastram says, both lifestyles have to be followed, means they must be followed sequentially. Therefore, what should be followed first? The path of karma must be followed first. Kriyapataha, the path of action must be followed first. Paschat later must be the path of renunciation. Path of renunciation implies what? Total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. The discipline of karma yoga must be followed first. The discipline of jnana yoga must be followed later. Which means karma yoga prepares for jnanam, then jnana yoga prepares for karma yoga prepares for the preparation for jnanam, the qualification for jnanam, and the jnana yoga prepares for the jnanam. Therefore, and here, this is a Mahanarayana Upanishad. So, Shankara Gurupada does not actually present the actual mantra from the Upanishad, but he presents the content of the Mahanarayana Upanishad, where the same idea is conveyed, and he presents the same idea conveyed in Mahanarayana Upanishad in his own language, in his own words. So, Shankara Gurupada's own words of the specific teaching in a given part of Mahanarayana Upanishad. What is that? The two paths must be followed sequentially one after the other. There's a choice between them. There's no way of combining them also. Why in Mahanarayana Upanishad it was not said that both paths must be combined? No, it was not said that they should be combined. One must be followed first, other must be followed later. So the pursuit of jnanam must be followed later. The pursuit of karma must be followed first means after being given a pursuit of jnanam, one need not go back to karma. That's the idea. In the sense, all these lessons help us understand combining karma and jnanam, jnanam and karma is not possible. Which means a person who is not at ready, who is not qualified for the attainment of jnanam, who is still not mature enough, who still have unresolved desires and longings, and who has yet to manage his emotions, such a person, no choice. Definitely he must go through the discipline of karma yoga. He must follow the path of karma. Purastat karma kriyapataha. Only when the person is ready, If this person has gone out of desire for everything, then naturally, and what is the lifestyle he should follow? He can't be a vagabond, neither here nor there. He must fit himself somewhere in something. Okay, then there is next is, Kriyapataha purasta paschat sannyasaha. Sannyasa pataha. That person is eligible for sannyasa only. Therefore, shastram everywhere, these two disciplines and two lifestyles are recommended to be followed sequentially. Nowhere they are said to be combined. Okay. He quotes quotations. Then, again he says, yetameva vibhagam punaha punaha darshayishyati bhagavan. Now, Shankaracharya says, my God, not in one place, many occasions, in many places. Yetameva vibhagam punaha punaha darshayishyati bhagavan. Bhagavan is going to reveal the same division of teaching again and again in the whole Gita we are going to see. Yetameva vibhagam, the same division only, again and again, Bhagavan will be teaching, showing. These are the two paths, they are the two disciplines, they must be followed sequentially. Okay, you are ready, then you had to, no choice. There's a discipline, Jnana Yoga, which is associated with sannyasa. The Jnana Yoga, repeatedly, you will be understand the nature of the Atma, which is your own Swarupam. And you will see repeatedly Atma Swarupam being unfolded as your own nature. And as the changelessness and actionlessness. So Bhagavan is going to show this repeatedly. Therefore Bhagavan says, how Bhagavan is going to show. So here he presents two quotes here. One is the 27th and 28th verses of the third chapter. Atattavittu, again is Shankaracharya's own words. This is Atattavittu ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. See, karta aham iti manyate. A person considers himself to be the doer. Aham karta, I am the doer. Iti manyate. He thinks he is the doer. He considers himself to be the doer. Who? Vimodha atma, the deluded minded. Who is deluded minded? Who has no discriminative knowledge of what I am, what I am not. Who has no discriminative understanding of what atma is, what atma is not. The person who does not have Atma, Anatma, Viveka, who does not know the knower is Atma, knower is Atma, the consciousness, the known is Anatma, the material matter. Therefore, body, mind and complex come under the category of the material products. Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct from the known mind, body, mind and complex. I, the knower, Atma, am pure consciousness. Therefore, I, the knower, am free from all actions. Atma, anatma, viveka is not there. Such a deluded minded alone considers himself to be the doer. Aham karta iti manyate. Not only that, he has ahankara. What ahankara? This delusion is because of he entertains an erroneous notion about the self also. He mistakes the person, mistaking the body, mind and complex for himself. He entertains the wrong notion that he is about the self. So his identity with the body, mind and complex and any image, notion he has about himself is erroneous. Such a person of erroneous notion about the self, being deluded, not having the discriminative understanding of Atma and Anatma, he is the ignorant of the truth. Atattvavit. The person who is ignorant of the absolute reality, ultimate truth, atattvavit, entertaining wrong notions about the self, having wrong identity, being deluded, not having the discriminative understanding of Atma and Anatma, considers himself to be the doer. Aham karta iti manyate. What does tattvavit do? What does the knower of the truth do? He says, tattvavit whereas tattvavit, the knower of the truth, na aham karomi iti manyate. Whereas the knower of the truth, this is from knower tattvavit Mahabaho. The verse comes. Tattvavit tu, whereas the knower of the truth has his understanding, na aham karomi. No, I do not do. I am not the doer. Iti. Because his identity is with the Atma, not with the Anatma, body, mind, sense complex. Iti. Tathacha. Therefore, knowing the fact that I, the Atma, am not the doer, what does the Tattvavit do? He says, next line, Tathacha, Sarva Karmani Manasa Sanyasyaste Sukham Vashi Ityadi. So, this is Ityadi. Presenting, quoting many such statements, Bhagavan is going to show again and again the same division. This division, the division shown by Bhagavan itself is the proof that Jnanam and Karma cannot be combined. Okay. So, yes, Sarva Karmani Manasa Sanyasya Aste. So, a person may be a Karma Yogi, may be a Sanyasi, but if a person has Jnanam, a grihastha jnani, if a person happens to be a grihastha jnani, or he is a sannyasi, doesn't matter. If a person is a jnani, if a person has atma jnanam, then even if he is performing actions, then how does he remain? Manasa karmani sarva karmani sanyasya aste. Even if the person is physically involved in activities for the welfare of the society, still having renounced all actions mentally, he remains. What does it mean? Renouncing the actions mentally means what? Renouncing all actions mentally means renouncing all actions through knowledge. Physically involved in activities also. A person remains, having renounced the actions through knowledge, still he is a karma sannyasi. He is a jnana karma sannyasi. So manasa should be taken as jnanena sannyasya. Renouncing the actions mentally means renouncing one's actions through knowledge. Not physically giving up activities is not sannyasa. Renouncing the actions through knowledge is jnana karma sannyasaha. If physically giving up activities, a person says, I am not the doer, having the identity with the body, then still he is ajnani. He is not a renouncer. In spite of doing the karma, if a person is free from the notion, I am the doer. So without the seeing oneself as the Atma, seeing oneself being free from actions, without entertaining a wrong notion about the self with ahankara, without entertaining the wrong notion about the self that I am the doer, because of the vision of the Atma being oneself, even if a person is involved in activities, still he has renounced the actions through knowledge. Manasa karma sarva karmane sanyasya ityukte sarva karmani jnanena sanyasya. Aham na karta iti jnanena sanyasya. Being objected towards his body, mind, and complex, being objected towards the activities, the person remains and he is a jnana karma sannyasi. So it is not whether the physically doing or not doing does not make a person a sannyasi. It is the knowledge a person has about the self. It is the notion a person entertains about the self that makes one a sannyasi. Person is free from the notion I am the doer, then he is a sannyasi. To be free from the notion I am the doer, not simply saying it, meant to be free from the notion I am the doer, one must see oneself being Atma. One must be a jnani. So what, by quoting all this, what does Shankara Bhagavatpada want to say? That commentary on the verse is already over. But he based on the teaching, he continues. He only negates the jnana karma samuchaya vada. He negates the idea of combining jnanam with karma. Okay. Very interesting. We will see now. Now we have come to the actual class. This is where we have to start. Tatra kechit. See, when we understand the whole teaching, as even we read the verses. Teaching is over. Now, this is all subtle teaching. How we must be very clear. We must be convinced of what we're understanding. Not simply mechanically accepting what is being said. We have to see the fact here. What is the fact? It is, the whole Bhashyam study is to see what exactly is the fact. And what is understood as a fact should not contradict our reasoning also. We are not mechanically accepting. We are seeing the fact being the fact, understanding the fact as a fact, and we see that fact, what we understand, does not contradict our reasoning. This is what is assimilation. Okay. So here, now Shankara Bhagavatpada talks about another person, another Purapakshi. Now it's very clear. Jnana karma samuchaya vada khandanam is over. The negation of, the refutation of combining jnanam with karma, the topic is over. But still, now he has to refute another person. He is also He is only in karma. He doesn't talk about combining, but his karma is very important for him because he is a Purmimamsakaha. The Purmimamsakaha means the person of erudition, a profound knowledge of the entire karma kanda of the Veda. So he must have analyzed the mantras, understood thoroughly the contents of the subject matter of Karmakanda. Therefore, he is a Pura Mimamsakaha. The very word Mimamsa means what? Matum Icha Mimamsa. Desire to measure. Desire to analyze. Desire to understand accurately is Mimamsa. Matum Icha Mimamsa. So, Mimamsa is used as a is to say analysis. So, Purva Mimamsa means Purva Vishaya Vedasya Purva Vishaya Mimamsakaha. Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsakaha. One who has Mimamsakaha. So, the person who has analyzed and thorough understanding of the subject matter of karma kanda is Pura Mimamsakaha. And he is the Purapakshi. So, and Shankara Bhagavatpada himself talks about the Pura Mimamsaka. And he mentions his view. What is the view of a Pura Mimamsakaha? Whose emphasis is only in making karma, doing karma. One has to perform rituals, perform rituals, perform rituals. And this person, so some Purimamsakas, even Anishwaravadinaha or Nirishwaravadinaha, some of them do not even accept the Ishvara, do karma, enjoy the benefits. There are some people. And these people do not accept sannyasa at all. Some people do not accept sannyasa at all. It means renunciation of karma is not possible for them. Sannyasa doesn't exist for them. Sannyasa is not possible for them. For them, that ashrama itself also is not acceptable for poor Mimamsakas. It's a group of Mimamsakas who do not accept the sannyasa ashrama, for whom grihastha ashrama is the only ashrama acceptable. Therefore, they're also known as Eka Ashrama Vadinaha, Eka Ashrama Vadinaha, Grihastha Ashrama Vadinaha. So, Grihastha Ashrama Pradhanaha. And such Purimamsakas view Shankara Gurupada mentions in this following sentence. He says, Tatra Kechit, Tatra means what? Some people who come with their own doubts. Kechit means some people. Kechit, some people are Purimamsakaha. And they are full of themselves because of erudition. Once Vedic Jnanam is there, along with Vedic Jnanam, especially Karmakanda Jnanam, the pride also comes. And they consider themselves to be really great scholars, learned people. Wise people, not simply learned, wise people. They think they're wise. Simply having a thorough knowledge of Vedashastra, Karmakanda itself, they think they're wise people. Panditam manyaha means panditam manyamanaha vadanti. So some people who are well known as Purimamsakaha, Ekashramavadinaha, who consider themselves to be already wise. See, they're learned, but they need not be wise. According to Shastram, Atmajnani, Brahmajnani is the person of wisdom. Others can be scholars. So, wisdom means Atmajnanameva wisdom. It is self-knowledge which is absolute wisdom. But these people, Purimamsakaha, simply having knowledge of the Karmakanda of the Veda, they consider themselves to be wise. Panditam manyamanaha, panditam manyaha. And what do they do? They vadanti. They say, what do they say? They do not accept the Brahmajnanam. They do not accept Atmajnanam. They do not, for them, sannyasa is not there. For them, the subject matter of Jnanakanda and the knowledge of subject matter of the Jnanakanda is not real for them, is not fact for them. So, what they say, whatever is taught by the Vedashastram in the Jnanakanda, the whole teaching in the Jnanakanda is only to inspire an individual, enthuse the individual, inspire the individual. It's a pep, the pep teaching, pep talk. So a person must be made enthusiastic, inspired, inclined. So all, any, whatever is talked about the Jivas, talked about as Jivas Swarupam, is only a glorification of the individual. See, what is discussed as the swarupam of the Atma, the essential nature of the individual, is mistaken to be, not mistaken, is said to be glorification of the Jiva. Who says this? A Purmimamsakaha Ekashramavadi says, Atma Swarupam discussed in the Jnanakanda of the Shastram is actually mere flattery, words of praise of a Jiva. Jiva is glorified, praised in such a way that he will become inclined, enthusiastic, inspired to perform karma. When a person becomes praised, when a person is praised, he becomes enthusiastic and inspired, and he will be more proficient, better contributive, more contributive, and more efficient in his karma. Therefore, Jnanakandam presents the glorification of the Jiva as Atmaswarupam. This is the view of a Purvamimamsakaha. So he says, what do the Purvamimamsakas say? Panditam manyaha Purvamimamsakaha kechit kim vadanti? What do they say? Janmadi shad bhava vika vikriya rahitah avikriyah akarta ekah aham atma iti. What are these words? All these words reveal the swarupam of the Atma. So, knowledge, if a person has knowledge of the self, what should be his understanding of the self? These words reveal. Janmadi shadbhava vikriya rahitaha aham atma. So, the Shastram, a Jnani must have this understanding. Aham Atma, I the knower am the Atma. Atma who am, Rahitaha, who am free from, devoid of, Bhava Vikriyaha, all forms of modifications. Six modifications such as birth, etc. Janma adi shad bhava vika bhava vikriya rahitaha aham atma. So I myself am devoid of, free from sixfold modifications such as birth, etc. Then, next, avikriyaha. So, Atma am actionless, that is changeless. Avikriyaha means I am changeless. Therefore, I am nishkriyaha, actionless. Aham avikriyaha, I am changeless. Therefore, I am nishkriya, actionless. Nishkriya means what? Akarta. I, the Atma, am non-doer. Then, I, the knower, am Atma, the only reality, ekaha. So, aham Atma, I am Atma, I am the only truth, I am changeless truth, all pervasive reality, and I am free from sixfold modifications such as birth, etc. Iti. Okay, this is the knowledge. Okay, this is the knowledge of this. How one has to have the knowledge of the essential nature of the true nature of the I, the Atma. But Purvamimamsaka says, iti jnanam நகசித்து உற்பத்தியதே சால் ஹம்பக் சச் நாலேஜ் கஸ் இத்தி ஞானம் கஸ் நகசித்து உற்பத்தியதே ஆர் கசித்து ந உற்பத்தியதே. Such knowledge does not take place at all for any individual. You keep on studying Karyana Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Upanishads, Upanishads of Upanishads, keep on studying. However long you study, such knowledge does not happen at all. Aham Atma, Aham Akarta, Aham Ekaha, ஜன்மாதி ஷட் பாவ விக்ரி ஷட் ஜன்மாதி ஷட் பாவ விக்ரியாரஹிதா அவிக்ரியா அகர்த்தா ஏகா அகம் ஆத்மா இதி ஞானம் நகசித் உற்பத்யதே. சச் ஞானம் டஸ் நாட் ஹேப்பன் அட் ஆல் ஃபார் எனி ஒன். நோ பட் சாஸ்திரம் இட் இஸ் சேட் தட் சச் ஞானம் ஷுட் ஹேப்பன். So for such jnanam, this shastram is the pramanam, jnanakanda is the pramanam, upanishads are the pramanam, and we have to have such jnanam. Only attaining that jnanam, there is a freedom, muktihi, etc. It is said, is it true? No, such jnanam doesn't exist. Brahma jnanam is not there. Atma jnanam is not there. Such jnanam will not happen. It's impossible. It's all, it's not a fact. This simply, it is just, all these are simply said in the Jnanakanda. Because such knowledge doesn't happen, take place for anybody. Nakasichit iti jnanam utpadyate. Yasmin sati, if such knowledge happens, yasmin sati, Yasmin jnane sati, if such knowledge takes place, if such knowledge is there really, then sarva karma sanyasaha upadishyate, then the renunciation of all actions may be taught. If such knowledge, or when such knowledge will take place definitely, really, then renunciation of all actions through knowledge may be taught. Upadishyeta or upadishyate. Okay? This is Purim, a very dangerous person. Because Puri Mansaka, if it is a dud, is okay, we can handle him. But he is very intelligent, supposed to be intelligent, supposed to be highly learned, highly argumentative, and he can convince with his erudition. He tried to do. However, he is a dangerous person. So he says, his Atma Jnanam itself, such knowledge doesn't exist. So sannyasa doesn't exist. It's all simply said. It is not even a fact. Suppose you ask the question, if it is not a fact, if Atma Jnanam, if Atma Swarupa Jnanam, the Atma is one, Atma is non-dual, Atma is changed, Atma is free from all modifications. If this is a fact, why should Upanishad waste its time? Waste the time of students, Hari Upanishads, if it is not a fact. Why should some falsehood should be taught with Upanishads? Such a question comes. You know, what will he say? He can say easily, you know, all these are pep talks. Means Upanishad in Jnanakanda specifically praises, glorifies the jiva, every individual. That the swarup of every individual is immortal, absolute, formless, changeless, etc. So that every jiva is praised and glorified. This is not a, it is not a matter of fact. It is simply, these are all words of flattery. They are simply used in the Shastram, Jnana Kanda, just to convert the unenthusiastic into enthusiastic, uninspired into be inspired, unclean to become inclined, so that they can, everybody being praised, being, you know, inspired, anyone can become more efficient, better contributive, and he can do his work much more efficiently. He can get more efficient in performing rituals, performing karma. Therefore, it is a simple, all these words revealing the nature of the Atma is a, are the words presented for inspiring the simple individuals to convert them into a better performance, convert them into much more efficient and proficient in their karma. So they should not be taken seriously as words of facts, statements of facts. No, aham brahma asmi, prajnanam brahma. These are all not, all these mahavakyams are not statements of facts. They are statements of inspiration, statements of glorification, statements of glorification of jiva, statements of inspiration for jiva, just to make him do better. Urmimamsaka interprets Jnana Kanda teaching in this manner. Okay, therefore, we'll see next sentence. So, how can I talk about sannyasa? This teaching itself is not real. It is not a fact. How can we take sannyasa based on such teaching, the non-factual teaching, to be acceptable, to be relevant? If this what is taught is real, the fact, then sarvakarma sannyasa upadishyeta. Okay, sarvakarma sannyasa can be recommended, sarvakarma sannyasa can be taught. No, sarvakarma sannyasa is not at all possible, it's not at all recommended. Only karma should be performed. He doesn't even talk about the combining jnanam with the karma. He doesn't even accept jnanam. That's why he said to be ekashrama vadi, in whose view biyagrastha, perform rituals, perform karma, earn punyam, enjoy pleasures in life, earn arthakamas, that's all life. And you earn more punyam, and you can even have better pleasures, enjoyment of pleasures in heaven, etc. So karma, performing karma with wholeheartedly and enjoying the results of actions is the life. That is what is a fact. So whole Veda is for that only. These are Purimamsaka interprets the Jnana Kandam also. Therefore, Shankaravadpada tells, he himself tells, that is not true, that these sat prajnanam brahma, aham brahmasmi, tattamasi, okay, I am atma brahma, not only these, we have many more mahavakyams where jiveshwara swarupam, jiva brahma aikyam is established, where Jnanam is glorified. Not simply glorified, Jnanam is present as the only means of discovering the Swarupam of the Atma, the freedom which is already there. And once the Jnanam is there, not only there's Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti is also talked about. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, no, that interpretation of Purvamamsaka of Jnanam is improper. Na. Na, no. Such interpretation of the nature of reality, nature of the Atma, interpretation of the Jnanam, knowledge of the Atma, is incorrect. Purvamamsaka's interpretation of the knowledge of the Atma is incorrect, improper. No. He says, there are many mantras, many, many verses in the Upanishads and in the Bhagavad Gita, everywhere. Okay? Where Shastra's teaching is completely different. The whole Shastra teaching is ultimately to enable Jiva discover freedom to the attainment of Jnanam, Atma Jnanam. So Atma Jnanam is the exalted knowledge, absolute knowledge, with which alone one can attain moksha. Therefore he says, in Kathopanishad, he quotes a verse which is ditto, same verse in Kathopanishad. In Kathopanishad, it has been lifted to even Bhagavad Gita. So in Vyasacharya, sometimes he brought the same Upanishad words in Bhagavad Gita. So he says that, quotes that, he mentions that verse. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyah ajo nitya shashvatoyam puranah nahanyate hanyamane sharire. So there, that verse, Atma Swarupam is discussed. Atma, what is Atma? The real content of I, the truth, the self of every being is absolutely indestructible. Indestructible because Atma is changeless, actionless, therefore indestructible. Indestructibility implies changelessness, actionlessness. Therefore, and in discovering this fact about the Atma, one discovers freedom. Atma Jnani claim that freedom if he discovers his own Swarupam. Therefore, he quoting a sentence, he says, Ityadi Shastra Upadesha Anarkhyat Anarthakyat. If we say, if we accept Purvamamsaka's Ekashramavadi's argument or his view, then whole Shastra Upadeshaha, the entire Shastra teaching, will become what? Meaningless, redundant. As there will be meaninglessness of the whole Shastra teaching, where Atma Swarupam is revealed as that which is not born. Atma is not born, Atma does not die, Atma is Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Sthanuhu, Achalaha, etc. Atma Swarupam is discussed in these verses. Which means Shastram, the Shastra teaching is not simply given, it's a statement of fact. The whole verse presents the fact. The whole verse presents consists of words revealing the nature of the Atma, which is a fact about the Atma. And the whole teach, Shastra teaching, Shastra Upadesha will become what? Will become Anartham. Upadesha will become Anartha. Therefore, Shastra teaching cannot be meaningless. Shastra teaching is meaningful. Therefore, his interpretation of Jnanam is not correct. Shakrabhupada's first mention. Then he is going to say, how Shankaracharya is going to negate this Purvamsaka's view. He says, Purvamsaka accepts Shastram as the Pramanam. Pramanam for the Karma Jnana. He accepts the Karma Kanda of the Veda as the Pramanam for knowledge. Knowledge of the Brahman, Karma. Means he considers Shastram as the Pramanam. So whatever is taught in the Karma Kanda, it's a very interesting topic, we'll see. Whatever is taught in the Karma Kanda is accepted by the Purvamimamsaka. If Karma Kanda teaching is accepted by the Purvamimamsaka, then Jnana Kanda teaching also should be accepted by him. Which means, what is taught in the Karma Kanda is a fact for him. What is taught in the Jnana Kanda is not fact for a Purvamimamsaka. How can half of the Shastram teach the facts? How can half of the Shastram teach non-factual matters? The entire Shastram presents subtle facts, which cannot be known through any other pramanam. Whatever is taught in Karma Kanda, of course, all facts. And what is taught in Jnana Kanda also is a fact. Even though it serves two different purposes. The subject matter of the karma, upasana, karma and jnana kandas. Of course, this, the benefits are different of this, the knowledge of these texts. But still, the entire Veda Shastram presents only facts. Even though they are not acceptable. They are acceptable for people who try to discover things in the realm of the matter. Ignorance. Scientists cannot accept. Because whatever is taught in the Karma Veda Shastram is not available for other means of knowledge. It is not in the realm of science. Definitely not. So, whatever rituals are prescribed in the Karma Kanda, Purvamsaka accepts those rituals. And he wants to, of course, he recommends Brahmins performing those rituals. And he understands, he accepts the Vedic teaching in such a way that even though the ritual is performed and the ritual produces some results, specific results, the connection between the result of the rituals and the rituals is also only revealed by the Shastra. If given ritual is performed, there will be given result. Swarga kamaha jyotishto mena yajeta. The person who is desirous of going to heaven should perform jyotishtoma. పుత్రకామః పుత్రకామేష్టి వ్యజేత. మే ది పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ ఆస్పైరింగ్ ఫర్ ప్రోజెనీ పర్ఫార్మ్ పుత్రకామేష్టి యాగా. కర్మ ఇన్ కర్మకాండ రిచువల్స్ ఆర్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్ బై ది శాస్త్రం అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ టాట్ హౌ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఎక్సెట్రా అండ్ ద బెనిఫిట్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో మెన్షన్. బట్ హౌ ది రిచువల్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ హౌ ఇట్ కాంట్రిబ్యూట్స్ ఫార్ ది ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ సచ్ రిజల్ట్ దాట్ మెకానిజం ఇస్ నాట్ టాట్ నాట్ రివీల్డ్. పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ దిస్ రిచువల్ దిస్ హౌ దిస్ రిచువల్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ దిస్ విల్ బి ది బెనిఫిట్ దిస్ విల్ బి ది రిజల్ట్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఆర్ మెన్షన్. సో వన్ హ్యాస్ టు హ్యావ్ శ్రద్ధ ఇన్ వాట్ శాస్త్రం సేస్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ వాట్ శాస్త్రం సేస్ అండ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్. సో ఎనీ వేదిక్ ఎనీ ద టీచింగ్ హియర్ ఇస్ అక్సెప్టెడ్ విత్ ద ఫెయిత్ శ్రద్ధ. హియర్ శ్రద్ధ ఈజ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ ద టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది కర్మకాండ. సో పూర్వమీమాంసక హ్యాస్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ ద టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది కర్మకాండ, హ్యాస్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ ద పర్ఫార్మెన్స్ ఆఫ్ రిచువల్, హ్యాస్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ ద రిజల్ట్. When he faith means, he is faith in the whole teaching of the Karmakanda. Therefore, he performs. And how does he know that this will be the result of this ritual? From the, again, Shastram is the Pramanam for that. And he also knows what? By performing many specific rituals, one can earn abundance of punyam. One can avoid papam. He also knows how we can earn punyam, how we can avoid papam. So that what? The more punyam you should earn for better enjoyment of pleasures. So for him, one has to earn punyam, punyam, punyam to enjoy pleasures, to enjoy the desired objects. He knows. So Purvamsaka accepts this. One has to earn punyam. So punyam and papam. What is punyam and papam? By performing certain rituals, we can accumulate punyam. So Purvamsaka has belief in accumulating punyam. He accepts the Shastra's teaching of accumulating punyam. He understands, he accepts that punyam can be translated into the experience of enjoyment of pleasures. He accepts that. Even going to heaven, enjoying heavenly pleasures, as a result of performing, as a result of accumulating punyam, he accepts. So he accepts anything, all teachings, given in the Karmakanda. For him, it's all facts. Going to heaven is a fact. Enjoying pleasure is a fact. Because all Veda says, Karmakanda, in Karmakanda, Veda says. Suppose, not only this, if a person accepts going to heaven, enjoying pleasures, after leaving his physical body, he even accepts the continuous survival of the jiva after death. Continuous survival of jiva after the death of the physical body, he accepts. That's why he is earning for the heavenly pleasures enjoyment. He accepts that. And he, of course, as a Vaidika, Karmakandi, he accepts Punarjanma. Punarjanma he accepts. Can accept Punarjanma. He accepts previous Janma. He accepts accumulating Punyam. Accepts the whole Karmakanda teaching. Which means he even accepts Ishvara. Some people do not accept Ishvara. Come to accept Ishvara as an order. So, the Karmakanda Jnanam really helps one understand even Dharma in terms of universal, natural, moral, law and order. That if we do this, this karma, this is the result, this result will happen in this way. So even that order is understood. So Dharma Jnanam, Purimamsaka has Dharma Jnanam. So there is Jagat which is real. Enjoyment of pleasures in this Jagat is real. And then pleasures even in our higher worlds is real. For which I had to earn Punyam, that is, he accepts. So all this he accepts. I mean, it is real. But the same Purimamsaka who accepts the teaching of Karmakanda as facts does not accept the teachings of Jnanakanda as facts. And he has his own interpretation of Jnanakanda, but he considers himself, he thinks he is wise also. Panditam manyanaha, manyamanaha. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, if all this is accepted, anything pertaining to the Karmakanda of the Veda is acceptable, it is possible, then why should he say, how can he say that what is taught in the Jnanakanda is not real? How can he say that? Why should he say that? This is what he is going to discuss in his follow, the following sentences. We'll see tomorrow. Is it clear? Yeah. So the following sentences are very important sentences. Beautifully, Shankar Bhagatpada is going to mention that. Okay. Why and how is not possible for him to accept the teaching of the Jnanakanda as something having the factual, something having the facts. So we'll see it tomorrow. So it's all right. So tomorrow we have to read from here. Yathacha Shastra Upadesha Samarthyat Dharmahatu Dharma Astitva Vijnanam Dharma Astitva Vijnanam Kartuhu Cha Dehantra Sambandhi Jnanam Cha Utpadyate Tatha Shastrate Yasyeva Atmanaha Avikriya Akartrutva Ekatvadi Vijnanam Kasmatana Upapadyate Iti Te Prashtavyaha. So what Shankar Bhagatpada says in this sentence, we'll see tomorrow. It's all right? I'll repeat this tomorrow a little bit and I'll explain this, okay? I have brought you to that lesson today. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.